true Christianity. We're going to find out what it is in a few minutes. In verse number 12, 1 and 12, we talked about the defects of Cretan character. These people were bad people. They sound like Bakersfield. I mean, it's bad. All Cretans are liars. They are beasts. They are gluttons. That word there, glutton, means stomach feeders. And they're idle and lazy. And they've got self-styled prophets, public performers, instead of preachers of the gospel. Public performers. One in verse 13 now. Hey, materia. Haute. Esten. Elethes. D. Hain. Aition. Elect. A. Altois. Apotomels. Hina. Higia. Nosen. N. Te. Piste. This, it is the true witness. The true witness. The witness of the truth. In other words, how else could we say this? This is the truth. The American Indians, when they get started off saying something, this is truth. They say truth right off, truth. No baloney, this is truth. That's what Paul said right here, this is truth. Which calls, this word electe, that means to reprove to the point of repentance. To reprove to the point of repentance. In other words, stay on somebody's trail until you get them to repent. Just hound them with the word of God till they repent. Them, that's an accusative plural, third person pronoun there. And then apotomos, apotomos. That omicron sigma on the end of that, you see that, Cindy? This is what we call an adverb. It's got L-Y on the end of that. And this means cut them off, prune them off. Prune them off. Cut them out. Severely cut them off. Prune them. Remember what Jesus said about the branches? The branches, the wild branches and the bad branches. They went and turned and pruned all these branches. In order that, and then this word here is higaonsin. Higaonsin. That means healthy there. And let's look at that verb. Cindy, can you conjugate that word for me there? Subjunctive. Now, what does that subjunctive mode tell you? There's volition in this situation. There's volition here. That they may be healthy. What does that depend upon, Sharon?
Them.
Them. It depends upon them. That they may be healthy in the faith. In the faith. They may be healthy in the faith. And this in the Amplified Bible says, on this account of them, it is really true. Because it is true, rebuke them sharply. Deal sternly, even severely with them. Remember what it says? Chop them off. So that they may be sound in the faith and free from error. Sound in the faith and free from error. Now, Paul is writing to Titus, and what is Titus doing? He's out building churches. And he's going among these ungodly buzzards and trying to make churches, sound churches, out of these scoundrels, which is a little bit hard to do sometimes. Higiano. Higiano. That means to be healthy. That means to be in good shape. I was in physical therapy today and I was watching this girl jump around over there. She was doing all kinds of stuff and had her running on a treadmill and they had her twisting and doing all this kind of stuff. And I said, man, I remember when I could do that. But it was a few decades ago. Probably five at least. Boy, I couldn't believe they're doing these things. You know, I mean, now I'm crippled and old and decrepit and geriatric. You look at somebody like that that can move around, that's healthy. That's healthy. Still healthy in every way. In the faith. Verse number 14. May prosekonte eudaikois. I can't read my writing. Is that mythos? Mythos? Okay. Kai, entoles, anthropon, apostrephomenon, tain aletheon. Now here we are. Paul is having trouble with the Judaizers there, isn't he? And Judaism. Not holding on to, not clinging on to. Look at that. Sharon, conjugate that participle for me.
Present active, participle, nominative, plural, masculine.
Okay, nominative, plural, masculine. Those are the ones that are doing it, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. Nominative is the case of the subject. Can anyone name all eight cases in Sanskrit and Greek? Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, invocative. Let's do that together. Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, invocative. That's all eight cases. Now, you have to realize that in Greek, every noun is in one of these, and every participle is in one of these. Okay? So it tells you what part of speech it is right there by the inflection. By the inflection. The inflection. What's inflection? What's inflection? Miha miho, young lady. What'd I just say? Huh?
My daughter,
my son. And it was different. That's inflected in it. One of them is masculine and one of them is feminine. So that is an inflected language. Okay? That's inflected. In Greek, you have it inflected, but much more, because you would have, if it was a participle, it would have told you what case it's in also. So we have present participle active. Present participle active. Nominative plural masculine. And eudaikois. To Jewish. Jewish tall tales. Myths. Legends. Fables. The opposite of the truth. These are fables. This is mythology. Jewish mythology. And what books were full of Jewish mythology? What are those books, Brother Roger?
The Talmud
and the Mishnah. And they are commentaries on the Bible, and they paid more attention to the commentaries than they did the Bible. And so many people do that today, don't they? Because they won't learn the languages. They have to trust the commentaries, don't they, Sharon?
Did the tales get in there because when someone's commenting on it, they're trying to put a story to illustrate their point, and then
I don't know which class it was, because I teach five classes a week, but more than that. I teach five different classes a week, but probably about seven or eight classes. But in one of these classes, I read to you, somebody, I read this, that. The Kabbalah, the rabbis say that no truth from heaven ever came down on printed page, not obscured. So you had to find the spiritual meaning of it instead of just saying what it says. In other words, don't trust what the Bible says. Let's figure it out. Let's figure out the spiritualizing part of it.
Hidden knowledge for the special people and not the masses?
Yeah. The Kabbalah is a mystical, mythological book. Everything has to do with mythology. It's all a mysticism. You just can't hear it one way and understand it. That's not possible. You have to figure out what secret meaning. No truth ever fell from heaven on printed page without covers over it. It was covered up in mysticism. Mythos. We get our word what out of that? Mitz. All right, enteles. Enteles. What is that? Commandments or edicts? Laws. Commandments, edicts, laws. And then we have anthropon. Anthropon. What is that, Cindy? What about anthropon there? Can you tell me a little bit about anthropon?
It's Greek.
It's Greek. Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely. You got first one, A plus on that. It's genitive plural masculine. And what is the genitive case? What does that mean? Do you remember, Sharon? Case of possession. Commandments belonging to men, not God. The Jews said, when you walk across the grass on the Sabbath, you're breaking the law. Why? You might be sowing grass seed. The Jews said that if you eat an egg laid on the Sabbath, that's verboten, forbidden. Did I get that right, Cindy? Verboten?
Forbidden.
How do you say it?
Forbidden.
Forbidden, yes. Verboten. Forbidden. Belonging to men.
Verbose
in German?
Verbose.
Yeah, okay. Commandments of men belonging to mankind, not to God. When the rabbi said, you cannot talk to your wife when you're in town, in the marketplace, do not talk to your wife, do not speak to your wife, because that is promiscuous. When Jesus spoke to that woman in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, that woman at Samaria, she could have been stoned of the laws of the rabbi. That was a stoning offense. But was it really an offense at all? Who did it belong to? Who did that edict belong to? Who did that commandment belong to? The rabbis, not to God. Mankind will always lay more laws on you than what God will. But God's going to lay some here tonight. Just be sure of that. He's going to really get with it, Christine. I want you to listen to this now. The commandments belonging to men. And then it says, apostre fomenon, astrophe fomenon. Now look at this one. Can you conjugate that, Christine?
Which one?
That apostre fomenon.
Oh, present, middle voice, participle, genitive plural,
masculine. Now, it can be masculine or neuter, but it's masculine here. Because describing that up there above that. Tall tales belonging to mankind. And then it says here, doing it about face. Brother Roger, when you're in the Army, you're going one direction, you do about face. What's that mean?
It means 180 degrees.
That means 180, turn right back where you were going. That's what this means. That's a military term right there. That means an about face. Doing an about face for yourself. All right, the commandments of men are doing about face away from the truth. Present participle, middle voice. That's who's doing that, Sharon?
Who's doing it? It's men.
Okay, doing it for themselves. All right. And then tain aletheon. Tain aletheon. That's accusative singular feminine, the truth. 1 and 15. Now we're going to read Jude 8. We're going to read Hebrews 12, 14 through 17 while we do this. Because this verse is powerful. This is a powerful verse right here. Panta kathara tois katharois. Tois, de, me, mi, a, menois, kai, apistois, udain, katharon, that word's been in this verse three times, ala, mamiante, that word's been here twice, auton, kai, ho, nous, kai, he, sina, desis. Powerful language here. All things pure, clean, purified. catheterized. What do you do when you catheterize a wound? You clean it. You clean it. A lot of times they burn it, especially if it's bleeding. That's what the name Kathy or Catherine or Kathleen comes from, this word right here in English. All things pure, cleansed, and clean to the clean ones, to the ones clean, to the purified ones. But to the ones, this is a hard, hard word. Terrible word. Miame minois. Now, can you conjugate that verb for us, or participle for us, Cindy?
Perfect passive participle dative.
All right. That's passive voice, isn't it? Now, what in the world? Something's doing something upon this person, isn't it? So we've got dative singular masculine. Okay, now something's done something to this one. That's dative case, two or four. Okay? And it's plural, so we got a bunch of them. And we got perfect participle and passive voice. Having been defiled, having been polluted, having been, page 269 in the little analytical lexicon there, it means to tinge, it means to dye, to stain, to defile, to corrupt. Corrupt, depraved, stained, corrupted, stained in character, polluted, disqualified. All of those is in that word right there. Having been stained, having been corrupted, having been contaminated. These are all words from that one. It comes from mia aino. And unbelieving, unfaithful, nothing clean. There's nothing clean in them, these people. There's nothing clean. Their minds are polluted. And then it says, but it has been. Look at that one, third person singular, perfect, indicative, passive voice again. But it has been stained, corrupted, defiled, disqualified. Them. And then it says, and the noose, the understanding, the thinking of them, has been corrupted, has been defiled, and the conscience of them has been corrupted, defiled, stained, all of this. These are pretty bad people, aren't they?
I don't understand the first part of it, though. All things are clean to the clean.
That's right. To those that are pure, all things are pure. Your thinking is pure, your thoughts are pure, everything is pure to the clean. Okay? Now let's, 115, let me read that to you. To the pure in heart and conscience, all things are pure. But to the defiled and the corrupted and the disqualified and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Their very mind and conscience is defiled and polluted. This is it. These are bad actors, aren't they? Bad characters. Let's go to the book of Jude. Book of Jude. Verse number 3 says, beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common salvation. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to, and what's the subject? Megan, do you have any idea? Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to, and what's the subject?
Where?
Jude.
I was just trying to understand that.
Okay, who's speaking?
Where's Jude?
Jude. Who's Jude?
His brother.
Judah. His name is Judah. Jude is a King James corruption of that name, Judah. This is Judah. Okay, Judas was Judah. All right, this is Jude, and who is he? This is a half brother of Jesus writing this letter. Okay, now what's he talking about? The acts of the apostates. Okay, Who's the apostates? Those that have denied the faith. The acts of the apostates. My mercy, my soul, and peace and love be multiplied to you, beloved. My whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common salvation. But I found it necessary and was impelled to write to you and urgently appeal and to exhort you to contend for the faith. What's that? The system of teaching for the church, which was once and for all handed down to the saints, the faith which is the sum of Christian belief. True Christianity. That's what we're talking about. True Christianity. Which was delivered verbally to the holy people of God. Holy people of God. Who's that, Sharon? Us, the holy people of God. What does holy mean? Roger? What's holy? What does holy mean? Holy. Literally. Holy. Hagios. Not of earth. Not of earth. We get to fooling around and rolling around and watering in the earth sometimes too much, don't we? Just watering around, getting too much dirt on us. For certain men have crept in stealthily, gaining entrance secretly by the back door or the side door or creeping under the tent flap. Okay? Their doom was predicted long ago. Impious, profane, and ungodly persons who pervert the grace of God. Who pervert the grace, the spiritual blessing and favor of our God into lawlessness and wantonness and immorality and disown and deny our sole Master and Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, they do all these things, but the worst part of this is what? Denying Jesus. Now, this is all terrible things. They're perverts. They pervert the grace of God. They're immoral people. They're wantonness. And to deny our sole Master and Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew what he's talking about. This guy grew up with him. Okay? He knew who he was. The Messiah, HaMashiach, the Anointed One. Verse number 5. And now I want to remind you, though you were fully informed once for all, that though the Lord at one time delivered a people out of the land of Egypt. He delivered a lot of people out of the land of Egypt, didn't he? There were 12 miracles performed in Egypt. I know most people talk about the 10 plagues, but there were 12 miracles. There were 9 penal judgments and 1 death blow, and this was all a contest. The first contest was between Moses and Aaron and the powers of Satan, and that was in the palace of Pharaoh when Moses had Aaron throw down the rod of God, which was the authority of God. He threw it down on the floor, and what did it become? A dragon. A supernatural dragon. And then Jannes and Jambres, according to 2 Timothy, threw down their rods, which was the power of Satan. Now, did Satan work a miracle here? Yes, he did. And what did their rods become? Dragons. But those dragons were Satan's power. Now, we know that when the angels rebelled, that 2/3 of them stayed with God and 1/3 went away. Now, here in Pharaoh's palace, and what does Pharaoh mean? You remember what Pharaoh means?
Man in the big house.
Man in the big house. Thank you, Sheriff Marin. You got it down, don't you? The man in the big house. Well, in that big house, there are 3 dragons in the floor, breathing fire and smoke. And God's dragon overpowered them and ate them. First miracle was to prove that God was more powerful than Satan. And then we have 9 penal plagues after that, and God is contesting every one of the gods of Egypt. And then we have the 10th plague. That was a plague of death. That was not a penal. The other ones were to turn them around. And during all this time, you know that not all of the Jews were converted. Did you know that? Not all of them wanted to leave. And also, who are the other people watching all of this? The Egyptians. Did some of them believe? Some of them believed. A lot of them left. Just went out of there. But a lot of them, they were not believers. Okay, they were just going for the ride. The Lord at one time delivered a people out of the land of Egypt. He subsequently destroyed those of them who did not believe, who would not follow, who refused personally to adhere to, trust, and rely upon Him. Can you name some of them? Korah? All right. Did Moses' own sister rebel against him one time? What did God do to her?
She got leprosy.
She got leprosy. How about Aaron? What happened to that old boy? God finally killed him. Did He not? He was a goldsmith, wasn't he? And while Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights without food or anything else, by the way, he went up there twice without eating. 80-something days without eating. That was a miracle in itself. But Aaron, down there at the bottom of this goldsmith, he carved him out a calf. They demanded that he give them a god that they can see and touch and feel. And so he carved out a calf and gold-plated it and then told them what? This is Jehovah. They got you up, brought you out of Egypt. Now, boy, that's bad. That couldn't be worse. I don't know. But he got rid of him later on. Now, two of Aaron's boys were wrong too, weren't they? And God, Jehovah God, killed them when they offered strange fire, strange religion. What happened to them? Lightning struck them and killed them. And then God told Aaron what? Do not mourn for them. Get them outside the camp. They're not of us. They're not of us. And they were priests, weren't they? They're not of us. Number six, and angels that did not take care for, guard, and hold to their own first place of power, but abandoned their proper dwelling place, He has reserved in custody in eternal chains, bonds, under the thick cloud. Skotia sophon is what it is. Chashak. And that's Hebrew, isn't it? Thick, thick darkness. Utter darkness. Outer darkness. This outer darkness right here is a place in hell, by the way. Until the judgment and the doom of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah had adjacent towns. Now, did God ever save Sodom and Gomorrah and all those kings? Yeah. He sent Abraham down there and He snatched them out of the hands of those guys that came down and captured them and stole everything, which likewise gave them over to impurity and indulge in unnatural vice. What was that? Homosexuality. That's what it is. And sensual perversity, He says it in two different ways, are laid out in plain sight as an exhibit of perpetual punishment. Remember when I read from the book of Jasher what they were pulling off down there in Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities, what the horrible crimes they were? Jasher tells us what happened back then. Perpetual punishment to warn of everlasting fire the wicked are sentenced to suffer. That was back in Genesis 19. Nevertheless, in like manner, these dreamers also corrupt the body, scorn and reject authority and government, and revile and libel and scoff at heavenly glories, the glorious ones. But even the Archangel Michael, contending with the devil, judicially argued and disputed about the body of Moses. Now, this is the only time we have angels fighting over a body of a dead man. Why do you think the devil wanted old Moses' body?
Wanted people to worship him.
Probably worship him from now on. The Jews still worship him. And they won't have him either. About the body of Moses, dared not presume to bring an abusive condemnation against him, but simply said, Jehovah rebukes you. But these men revile and scoff and sneer at anything they do not happen to be acquainted with and do not understand, and whatever they do understand physically, that which they know by mere animal instinct, like irrational beasts, by these they corrupt themselves and are destroyed and perish. Woe to them, for they have run riotously the way of what? Cain. And have abandoned themselves for the sake of money to the error of Balaam, You know that those two boys, Jannes and Jambres, were Balaam's boys in Pharaoh's palace? Balaam hung around for a long time and have perished in rebellion like that of Korah. These are the elements of danger, hidden reefs in your love feast. Now this also says stains. Stains also. And hidden, what is a hidden reef? If you've ever been out in the ocean, there are reefs out there. I had a friend that had a sailboat sailed around the world about three times. And he was out in the Pacific, in the South Pacific, sailing in his boat, which was like a 150-foot sailboat. And his depth finder kept saying 30 feet, 30 feet, 30 feet. He was scared. He went 300 miles with that thing saying 30 feet. Now, if I'm out there in the ocean, Maryland, and I have my depth finder and I see shallow water, what do? Go the other way. This guy couldn't get away. And what he finally figured out, there was a submarine under there shadowing him, trying to use him as a decoy. A hidden reef. That's scary, a reef out in the ocean, because that can crash you. You're done for. Hidden reefs in your love feast, where they boldly feast sumptuously, carousing together in your midst, without scruple providing for themselves alone. Without scruple. Without what? Scruple means what? Consciences. Without a conscience. Without morals. They are clouds without water, swept by the winds, trees without fruit, at the late autumn gathering time, twice doubly dead, lifeless and plucked up by the roots, wild waves of the sea. You know who he's quoting here, don't you? Who is he quoting? Huh? No. Who's he quoting, Brother Roger? He's quoting Enoch. He's quoting Enoch. It's all Enoch's words. All the way back in the book of Enoch. Wild waves of the sea flinging me up the foam to their own shame. Disgrace. Wandering stars for whom the gloom of eternal darkness has been reserved. Who's these stars here? Fallen angels. It was of these people, moreover, that Enoch in the sea there. Now he quotes Enoch. He quoted him all along. Peter quotes him. Jesus quotes him. Paul quotes him. They don't say that, but they do. You just read the book of Enoch and you'll find out they're quoting him a lot. Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied when he said, "Behold, the Lord comes with myriads of His holy ones, 10,000 of His saints, to execute judgment upon all, to convict all of the unpious, unholy ones of their ungodly deeds." And some of these people get in churches. That's what he's saying over there in Titus. "Which they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the severe, abusive, soul-jarring things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These are inveterate murmurers, grumblers, complainers, that complain of their lot in life, going after their own desires, controlled by their own passions. Their talk is boastful and arrogant, and they claim to admire men's persons and pay people flattering compliments to gain advantage." Isn't that what we just said over there in Titus? "But you remember, beloved, the predictions which have been made by the apostles and of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Messiah and the Anointed One. They told you beforehand, in the last days, in the end time, there will be scoffers who seek to gratify their own unholy lusts, falling after their own ungodly passions. It is these who are agitators and setting up..." Remember what this book's about? The book of Jude or Judah? It's about the apostates. The apostates. "Agitators setting up distinctions and causing divisions, merely sensual creatures, carnally, worldly-minded people, devoid of the Holy Spirit." If you are saved, when you do something wrong, you're going to catch it. You're going to catch it. "And destitute of any higher spiritual life, But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. What kind of faith is that? Not of this world. Leave the things of the world behind. Make progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Guard yourselves. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto life eternal. And verse number 22 is exactly what it says over there in Titus. Refute and convict to the point of repentance or cutting them off. On some have mercy who waver in doubt. Strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire. I remember a long time ago, I read a story. The Wesley, Mrs. Wesley, she had a husband that was a preacher, and he was a total coward, just worthless. All he could do is preach. That's all he's good for. He didn't have any common sense at all. None. Zero. No common sense. Anyway, their house caught on fire. And the old boy stood out there in the front yard and watched his kids screaming and hollering for help and started praying. And somebody ran in the house and wrapped one of them up in a blanket and took him down. I think that was John or Charles Wesley. I can't remember which one it was. And she called him a firebrand snatched out of the flames. The old boy just sitting down there watching these kids die, but somebody went in there and saved them. Got them out of there. And she said that was a little firebrand snatched out of the fire. Strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire. On others take pity, but with fear, loathing even the garments spotted by the flesh. Don't, boy, do you loathe your passions and your desires? Do you loathe them sometimes? Just loathe them. Even the garments spotted by the flesh and polluted by their sensuality. See that word polluted there? Polluted, disqualified, stained. Now to Him who is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping, or falling to the present, to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless before the presence of His glory with unspeakable ecstatic delight and in triumph, joy, and exaltation, to the one only God of our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, one time I preached over 12 hours on this little book. It's on the website. 12 hours, 12 classes on this one. There's a lot of stuff in there. I went through it real fast. But it repeats what Titus repeats what he said. To the one and only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Judah knew what he was talking about. Judah knew what he's talking about. This was his brother. Be glory and splendor and majesty and might and dominion and power and authority before all time, now and forever, unto all the ages of the ages of the ages. Amen. Amen. Now let's go to another hard saying. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse number 14. Now, who's speaking here? Does anybody know? Marilyn, do you know who's speaking here in Hebrews? Brother Roger, who's talking?
If I knew, then I would know who was writing Hebrews.
Yeah, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. I guess maybe Apollos, maybe. We don't know. Okay? And who's he writing to? To the Hebrew Christians that have gone the way of the stories and the fables and the myths. Okay? He's trying to bring them back. Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness as true Christianity. Become a true Christian. And pursue the consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. Exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another and to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, His unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, and hatred shoot forth and cause trouble and bitter torment, that many become contaminated. See that word contaminated? That's disqualified, contaminated. It means stained and defiled by it. That no one may become guilty of sexual vice and become a profane, godless, and sacrificial person as Esau. Look at that. Esau. Esau was the one supposed to have his birthright, wasn't he? But did he? He wasn't worthy of that birthright. He was set aside. And there we have the rejection of the firstborn. Our first birth is rejected because it were of the earth. The second one were born from above. Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single cheapest meal, like one Little Mac, like the cheapest hamburger, like the cheapest commodity in the land, which was lentils, a type of bean, a little flat bean. You couldn't find anything cheaper than that. For you understand that later on, while he wanted to regain title to his inheritance, to his birthright, and the blessing, he had rejected and disqualified himself, see that, and set aside, for he could find no opportunity to repent or repair by repentance what he had done. That is, no chance to recall the choice he had made, although he sought for it carefully with bitter tears. Genesis 27:30-40 is where that takes place. Now let's go back to the book of Titus and move along here a little more. Well, we looked at all of this. Let's read it one more time. All things clean to the clean. But to the ones having been stained and disqualified, corrupted, and unfaithful, nothing is clean. But it has been stained, defiled, corrupted, polluted of them, and the mind of them, the thinking of them, and their conscience is corrupted. Yes.
It sounds like with this that they have became corrupted, became defiled, became stained. That's like you could lose your salvation.
It's not talking about losing your salvation.
What's it talking about? Is it talking about believers?
We're going to build a church out of ungodly buzzards. And some of them are so stained with the world that they just don't leave it behind. And sometimes Christians can disqualify themselves from rewards, can't they? We've talked about that. Yeah, but not salvation, but rewards. And places of service, yes. They can disqualify themselves of all of that. All right, did that answer your question? Okay, we're not talking about losing your salvation here. Okay, 1:16. Theon. Homo logousen, adene, tois de, ergois, arnunte, belik toi, ontes, kai, apithes, kai, pros, pon, ergon, agathon, adokimoi. They profess to recognize by experience and be acquainted with God. They profess to be acquainted with God. Islam? Jehovah's Witnesses? Mormonism? Okay. And some of these people here. These people. Catholicism. Some of the most terrible sinners in the world are priests in the Catholic Church, aren't they? They have been that way since 1123 A.D. Right or not? What did the Catholic Church do in 1123 A.D. that was so bad? That's when they invented celibacy and they said their priests couldn't marry, and then from then on we have corruption. Total corruption in there. And we have raping and pillaging of all of these church members' wives and daughters. That's what happened since that time. They profess to know and be acquainted with God. And the works they deny. They won't do good things. They won't do good things. Abominable things, abomination, detestable, loathsome things they do. They practice. And they are. And disobedient, not persuaded, disloyal, rebellious and unbelieving. And to every good work, look at that word, every ergon. Ergon is a product of employment. And agathon, what's that mean, Sharon? That's spiritual good work. Every spiritual good work is reprobate, unfit, worthless. They profess to know God, to recognize, perceive, and be acquainted with Him. But they deny and disown and renounce Him by what they practice. They are detestable and loathsome and unbelieving and disobedient and disloyal and rebellious. And they are unfit and worthless for anything good. Any enterprise that is of any count. They're worthless for any of those things. Now we're in chapter 2, Cindy. We got it. We made chapter 1. Finally. All right. 2 and verse 1. Si de lale. Ha prepi. Te higea nusin. Didaskalia. You speak which things it becomes in the healthy teaching. Healthy. That means wholesome, sound, sound in character. Now, we just talked about reprobate characters, didn't we? The character of a person. What type of a character is a person? What type of character does he have or does she have? What kind of a character, what kind of a legacy is she or he leaving behind? And children and whatever. Okay? We're talking about character, Christian character. We're talking about true Christianity. What kind of people these are. 2 and verse 1. Lale there means what? Oesa omenete usiane. What did I just do? That's nominative. That's present participle. No. That is present participle active. I'm conjugated the endings. O, ace, a, omen, udi, usi, ain. And so this is a here. And this is third person singular, present indicative active. And you, he speak. Which things? You speak or he speaks. You do this. Which things it becomes? Look at that word, prepo. Is this word preppy? What is a preppy in college and things? Yeah, kind of a little snob or something.
They're just right.
A what?
They're just right.
Yeah.
Everything's just right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Preppy. It becomes. In healthy teaching. But as for you, teach what is fitting and becoming and sound and wholesome in doctrine. Look at that word doctrine there. That oskalia. That's the word doctrine. In doctrine, the character and right living that identify true Christians or true Christianity. This word doctrine here means facts, theological facts. There are some theological facts that are very important, aren't they? We're sinners. Is that true? We're sinners. You will never get saved until you know you're a sinner. You won't until you know you're a sinner. And even when you're saved, you're a sinner. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, sometimes in some theological fields, you have a practice that then becomes a tradition, that then becomes a doctrine, that becomes a doctrine, that then becomes Holy Writ. Holy Writ is Holy Writ. It is not what we practice. Are there many things that Baptists practice that are ungodly? I've named them a few times. We practice things that are not, I should say, looking outside, looking in. You know, I'm a Baptist, all right, but I don't do a lot of those things. I don't want to do that. But there are things that Baptists practice and have practiced in the past that are not foundational. When I pastored a church, we never had offering. Did you know that? In a Baptist church, it's unscriptural if you don't have an offering. We never had an offering plate. We had a missionary one time and the church voted to take up an offering. We didn't have an offering plate. We went and got a pot in the kitchen so we could take up an offering. There's a lot of things we do that are not exactly the way it should be. You know, what about when you raise your hand up when you're getting ready to baptize somebody? Where does it say raise your hand when you baptize somebody? But we do that, don't we? Practices that become tradition, that become doctrine, that become dogma, that become holy writ. Practice those things that are healthy and true. Those things that are healthy and true. 2 and verse 2. Presbytos. Presbytos. Nephalios. Ene. Semnus. Sophronos. Hygeanuntos. Te pisse, te hagie, agape, tain hypomone. Now we have old people, old men, geriatric guys, presbyteros. Now we're talking about old people in church. When I looked at the mirror this morning when I was trying to comb what hair I have left, I realized that I'm an old person. Now you young girls here... Huh? Well, it kind of helps. You know, I go outside and sometimes the hornets try to hit me and this hair, what's left? Well, when I don't have a hat on, I went out there yesterday and one of them got me. I forgot to put my hat on. And my hair stopped it. It's good for something.
If you're like my dad, his hair hasn't grown in over 25 years.
Yeah.
Literally.
And I got a haircut today.
If my mom cut his hair, it would not grow.
Yeah. So did I get a haircut today or yesterday? I don't even know what day this
last
is.
Night.
Oh, last night. Okay. Yeah. See, that's how bad I am. I don't know what I did yesterday or today. Aged men. Old people. We ought to be sober and not drunk. Not under the influence of drugs or substance or any kind of weird thing. Sniffing glue or paint or something, you know. We shouldn't do that. Nothing like that. We ought to be controlled by the Spirit. Sober to be. And then same news. That means truthful, serious, honorable, sensible, dignified, venerable, truthful. And if you want to look at this up, go to Trench's Synonyms in the New Testament on page 347. It gives you a lot of good things on there. And then we have the sophronos. You know what that means, sophronos? Do you know what that means, Marilyn?
Wine.
What?
Wine.
Sophia.
Oh, Sophia.
Sophia is in that word. All right. Sophronos. We need to be sensible. We need to be wise. Slapping myself around here, you know. I'm an old guy. I need to be sensible, I need to not be drunk all the time, and I need to be wise. And how will we conjugate and decline this young lady? Megan? Higa, higa nuntas, higa nuntas. Look down below that thing. Accusative, plural, and masculine. Okay, that is the object in a sentence. Okay, that's the object. Okay, that's the object. Being sound and healthy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Old people are not sound and healthy sometimes, are they? But what's it telling us to be sound and healthy in what? In the faith. In the faith. And in love. And in endurance and steadfastness. Look at this. Beautiful. 2 and verse 2. Urge the older men to be temperate, venerable, serious, sensible, self-controlled, sound in the faith and in love and in the steadfastness and patience of Christ. That word hypomone down there, that's like spiritual isometrics. It comes from hypomeno. That means to remain under the strain. How many of you have been under strain for a long time? Had all them five kids, didn't you? That's a job, isn't it? But you got rid of one. Yeah, I mean, but you got another one too. Yeah. But you succeeded. How they turn out in the end, we do not know. But it's your job to do the best you can to get them up there and remain under the strain. That's what you do. Do the best to get them up there. And to be a leader. A leader. 2 and verse 3, and then we'll finish there. Pesbutidas. Hosiatos. In kata stemate. Hero prepes. Me diabolus. Mayday. Oino. Polo. Dedulemonos. Kala didaskalus. Now we're talking about old women. Any of you around here? Any old women around here tonight? Not one of them is going to admit it, is it? Are they? No old women are going to admit that. Everyone's covered plumb up. Old women. Similarly, in like manner, now do all the things that was required of the men. We want them to be truthful. We want them to be sensible. We want them to be healthy in mind and in the faith and in love. And in endurance, and sober, not drunk. In the demeanor, to stand down in personal appearance, deportment, personal behavior, and character. Reverent. That's a high Greek word right there. Plato used this word. One given to sacred duties, is what it says. One given to sacred duties. A priestess, so to speak. Godly behavior. Used only by Paul in the New Testament, right here. And then we have a particle of negation, that's may. Not devils. That's what it says, not devils. What's it say down there? What's that say, Sharon? Diabolos, not devils. The women shouldn't be devils. Can a woman be a devil?
Yeah.
Is that possible? Well, sometimes are women slanderers?
Yeah.
What's that? Did you say something?
I said that's not the word I would use for women, but yeah, that's.
Not the word you'd use. Okay. Slanderers, devils, seductresses, deceitful. That's all of this. Does the devil try to seduce us? All right. Not seductresses. Not feminine devils. Not deceitful, not liars, not slanderers. Does the devil slander? Yeah. And then Mayday, you know, when you holler Mayday over radio, that means they're in trouble. Well, right here you're in trouble too. Nor a wino, not a drunkard. Can women be slaves to wine and strong drink? Not by much wine. They don't need to be habitual drunkards. And then there's this word here, didulemenos. It comes from doulao. Doulao, which means be a slave. Okay? That means be a slave. Not having been enslaved. It's a puerile plural feminine, perfect participle passive. What can make you a slave? Can drugs make you a slave? And then what? If you're an alcoholic and drug addict, guess what? It's harder for women to get off of that than it is men sometimes. Because it is emotion. It is emotion. This is an emotion. Strong emotion. People.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Don't go. You had a question?
What's the LS stand for under these two words?
Where?
Wine and by much.
Oh, locative singular, locative singular.
Oh, okay.
Locative singular, locative singular. Not involved in and locked into wine much. Locked in, not held under the control of wine, locked in, locative case. Okay, does that make it better?
It does. Thank you.
Okay. Having been enslaved, having been caused to be enslaved by wine, by lust, by any of these things, enslaved by it. Can you be enslaved by all of these things? Can you be? Sure you can. Can you be enslaved by lying, habitual liars and slanderers, seductresses, deceitfulness, having been enslaved by all that? And then what we have down here, we have the last word here is real good. Kalo didaskalos. Teachers of good things, of right and wrong, noble things. Teach noble things. Teachers of noble things. Don't teach your daughters how to be seductresses and how to look cute and how to get their way. Remember that Jewish girl that became that actress? What was her name?
Sarah Bernhardt.
Sarah Bernhardt, her mother taught her to be a prostitute. She taught her to be an actress. See, prostitutes are actresses. That's what they don't do like that. Don't do all these other things, but do this. Teach good things, not wicked things, but good things. Teach good things. Now we'll come back. So we went from one. Where did we start, Cindy? 1:13 through 2:4.
I noticed your note down there says women alcoholics all are harder to recover than men.
That's right. You just go to AA and ask them. They have real problems. Lots of problems. Lots of problems. And then it tells us next week we're going to find out what women's supposed to do, the positive side. Okay? They're going to be husband lovers and child lovers. Okay? That's, we haven't there yet. Do you have any questions about any of this? Roger, you got any questions?
No.
Sharon, do you have any questions? Megan.
You said 12 miracles in Egypt, and I got 11. But what was it called? The parting of the sea?
Yeah, the parting of the Red Sea. And the last thing he did was to, you know, Pharaoh was a god, wasn't he? To Egypt. He proved to Egypt that Pharaoh was not a god, that he's the god of Egypt also. He whooped him and killed all the army, wiped them out. And you know what the funny thing is? And I know this is going to be a total surprise to some of you. Where did they drown? Where did they drown? Where?
At the bottom of the water.
Have you ever heard somebody drowning in a cup of water? Drowned in a cup of water, get strangled and drowned. They didn't cross the Red Sea, people. They crossed the Sea of Reeds, which was a shallow place. And God opened that up, and then he brought the water back on top of them, and they drowned them all in the Sea of Reeds, which maybe wasn't over 12 or 15 feet deep, period. It wasn't a great big ocean. This is the Sea of Reeds. The word Red Sea came from the Septuagint, not from the Hebrew Bible. You remember that, Cindy? They were not drowned in the Red Sea. They were drowned in a marsh. Now, in the bottom of a marsh is muddy ground and quicksand and things like that. So the Lord used all of that. But Israel went across on dry ground. And then Pharaoh got stuck in the mud. As simple as that. And they drowned in muddy water.
Do you think there are people like who went through like this, you know, through the water?
What?
Do you think there were people
because they had
walls of water? Do you think there were people
who
went like through like this?
Give
me a minute.
I'm sure it was
water.
Yeah.
Like the,
would you have done that?
I would have done that,
yeah. I saw a picture one time where they were coming through. There were sharks over here and this and that stuff, you know, on the side looking at them, you know.
Yeah, that was a cartoon on the far side.
Is that it?
There was a shark on one side and there was some little fish on the other and they were sticking their tongue out.
Yeah. All right. Well, go out and do something eternal. Do you have any other questions? Any other interrogatio? Sharon, do you have something? Cindy? You probably got a question I cannot answer. All right. Let's go out and do something eternal. Sharon, you want to dismiss us in prayer, please?
Father, we just thank you for this opportunity today to learn your word,
Help us to understand it. Give us teachable spirits. Help us to meditate on it during the week and have it percolate into our soul so it can be part of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.